backed by your prayers and your generosity. This is listener-supported Relevant Radio.
The listener emailed and said that she is not a Catholic, but she listens to Relevant Radio for two reasons.
Sister Bridget Hess.
She said, it helps me to pray, and it helps me to find God in other people and do good. And I thought to myself, wow, Relevant Radio, if we as a community, not only on the air, but in the places we live, help people to pray and to help people find God in other people and do good, what better use of our time on earth?
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. We're only able to broadcast because of your generous support.
Support the mission of Relevant Radio
by calling 1-877-291-0123.
Donate online at relevantradio.com or by using the Relevant Radio app.
We can't accept this colored priest.
But the Catholic Church deplores double slavery. That of the mind and that of the body.
We want no Tolsons in this place.
I shall work at it and pull at it as long as God gives me life.
Get out of Quincy, go elsewhere, get!
May I never give up.
Learn more at TolsonDrama.com.
See Tolson at Christ Cathedral's Free Theater, January 26th through 28th. For info, go to ccdramaseries.com.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.
Chart-topping worship vocalist Matt Maher will perform at Christ Cathedral on February 10th as part of his Echoes of Worship tour. Don't miss Matt Maher performing at one of the most incredible, beautiful, and inspiring locations in the country, Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove. Get your tickets today at transparentproductions.com. That's transparentproductions.com. Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Welcome to Catholic Sports View. I'm Bob Gibson. Thanks again for joining us this week right here on Relevant Radio. Well, later on in the show, we're going to talk with Ryan Abraham, the founder of USCFootball.com. We'll talk about Amon Ross St. Brown, the modern-day wide receiver, and his college commitment. He's finally made his choice. He's going to be a USC Trojan. But before we get there, we're going to talk to two of the modern-day Monarchs, including Amon Ross St. Brown. We'll talk to him, and we'll talk to Chris Murray, the senior offensive lineman. Both those players have made their decision where they're going to college. They also participated recently in the Army All-American Bowl, and we'll talk about that experience as well. But we kick off the show this week. We start by talking with Jim Hartigan, the former head coach at Santa Margarita High School. He coached Carson Palmer during his 4 years as an Eagle. Carson just announced his retirement from the NFL, and we wanted to reminisce a little bit with Coach Hartigan about his time spent with Carson during those great Santa Margarita years.
Let's welcome into the show Jim Hartigan, the former football coach at Santa Margarita High School, also at J. Sarah High School, and the longtime coach of Carson Palmer, well, at least for 4 years at Santa Margarita High School. Coach, thanks for joining us here this week, and we're going to reminisce a little bit about Carson Palmer, who announced his retirement from the NFL. Thanks again for joining us.
No problem.
I had to wrap my head around it, and maybe you had the same thing, too, to think that, wow, Carson Palmer's old enough to actually have announce his retirement from something. You've known him since obviously he's a kid. What were your first reactions when you heard that Carson was going to wrap up his professional football career?
Well, I mean, a couple of things. I can't believe how fast 15 years have flown by. You know, it was like yesterday that he was playing for us at Santa Margarita.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's had a great career, you know, and, you know, with the injury and, you know, 15 years in the NFL, like he said in his letter, you know, he felt it was time and, you know, what's been more time with his family, and obviously look at the next stage in his life, but what a career he's had.
Yeah, you know, so many times you hear somebody say on these kind of announcements, you know, a great football player, but an even greater person. But it really applies, I think, here. You certainly know it. I've interviewed him a couple of times as well, and what a great person that Carson really is.
No question. I mean, obviously, he was raised by, you know, great parents, and he has a great family, and I know he's a family man. You know, he sticks close to his immediate family, and obviously, you know, spends as much time as he can with his own family. So I think this is really important for him to really be able to dedicate the rest of his life, and not that he has him, but spend as much time as he can with his kids and his wife and enjoy life, and I'm sure he'll get into other endeavors, but I mean, he's always a guy that's balanced life and football and obviously at a high level. And so I'm sure, you know, he'll take this time and get to rejoin some friends that, you know, he either played professional with, college or even high school, and really spend some time and hopefully just reflect on what a great career he's had.
Yeah, we always knew how special he was, obviously, as a football player, you know, having covered him at Santa Margarita and, you know, the CIF championships and all the great performances that Carson gave all of us to watch over the time. But you knowing him so closely over that time, you had to have known right away, you know, the kind of kid that he was going to be able to become at USC and eventually as a pro football player.
Yeah, we were fortunate, you know, at the time that he came into Santa Margarita, we were, you know, starting to establish ourselves as a school, as an athletic department. And, you know, we were fortunate enough that he just showed up on campus. And, you know, he not only showed up on campus, but he showed up on campus with some friends that were also good football players and good kids like John Minardi and others. And so, you know, we were blessed to have him on campus, his brother on campus, his parents were obviously supportive. We almost lost him in sophomore year. His dad had a job transfer. He went back to Connecticut for the summer, and we thought we lost him. And then all of a sudden his dad said, hey, you know what, we're going to bring him back. And his dad decided to commute back and forth. So we kind of had to hold our breath there for a while, like, what's life going to be, you know, without Carson? I mean, he obviously played his freshman year, had a phenomenal year. We all knew the type of talent and potential he had, and then one minute he's gone, and bam, the next minute he's back. So we were blessed to have him back, and, you know, he certainly had a storybook career with us. He was 27-1 as a starter, started 2 years for us on the varsity level, won us 2 state championships, and obviously, you know, what a phenomenal run. He's a phenomenal basketball player as well, won a state championship in basketball.
Yeah, that's right.
And state championship. So you're talking about a two-sport athlete, a guy that can manage, you know, 2 major sports, you know, academics, and did it, you know, did it the right way. He was a good kid, you know, well respected on campus, and obviously even at SC, and obviously being a leader, you know, in professional football.
Jim Hardigan joining us, one of the legendary football coaches in the state of California, had the chance to coach Carson Palmer during his high school football career. Carson, in case you didn't hear, announced his retirement from the Arizona Cardinals, 15-year NFL career. When he was making the decision to go to USC, was that a natural for him? Was that the only place he was really thinking of? You know, we know USC was really getting dialed in at that point as getting back to a football power.
I think deep down inside, that was always on his radar.
Mm-hmm.
Probably was his number one choice, but he did take the summer to go to some camps. I met up with him at Colorado, where he was at a camp with John Minardi, and John Minardi committed to Colorado. He just came fresh off a visit at Notre Dame and Penn State. And so, you know, he was starting to get a little intrigued with Notre Dame. And then, you know, but I think deep down inside, when John Robinson walked in the office and offered him scholarship, he basically, you know, I think he knew that's where he really wanted to end up being, and that's where he ended up. And obviously, good for them, you know, and it was great for Carson. And so, the fact that he accelerated right away as a freshman, played there, won a Heisman Trophy, you know, had a phenomenal career there, just continues to show how he developed not only in high school, but college and then obviously the NFL.
Yeah, and I've told people, I think you can really credit Carson and that class, not just Carson, of course, but, you know, what he did, what he accomplished in winning a Heisman Trophy, that really got everything in motion for SC again. That put SC, I think, back on the map, that Heisman Trophy win, and of course, we know what Pete Carroll ended up coming in and doing with the Trojans, you know, from there. So, I mean, I think, you know, we can trace that back to what Carson was able to accomplish in winning that Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, if you ask people at SC, they'll definitely say that, you know, he came at a significant time where, you know, they needed, you know, kind of a statement, you know, to get their program back where they want it to be, and obviously a Heisman Trophy, and, you know, it's a coveted award, obviously, at the college level, and for SC, you know, with all their, you know, Heisman Trophy winners, I think it was just, you know, shot in the arm for them to get a Heisman Trophy winner, get the program back to where they wanted it, get Pete Carroll in there, it was just a perfect combination. And obviously Carson was able to, you know, kind of kickstart that for them, you know, when they needed it. And obviously it rewarded him. It would be the first pick in the NFL draft, you know, finishing his senior year.
I know we've talked about this before, but you just kind of wanted to go over it again. You know, one of the neat parts about the Heisman Trophy is that the high school, you know, gets to participate in a lot of the things that go on with that. Of course, there's a copy of it at the school as well. You know, what did it mean for you, again, to be part of that whole experience and seeing Carson, you know, be able to enjoy that time?
You know, it was amazing. I mean, I remember sitting at home watching the Heisman Trophy presentation and, you know, not knowing whether or not he was going to win it. But when they announced his name, it really kind of sunk in like, wow, you know, number one, he won it. Number two, what a great accomplishment for our school. The fact that I was able to be able to say that I coached the Heisman Trophy winner. I know our vice principal called me immediately, was so excited about, you know, that Carson being named the Heisman Trophy winner. And she was so excited that, you know, he deserved it. He earned it. And the recognition that he got. And so, I mean, it was big. I mean, it's something that we, you know, obviously, you know, it's a big part of our school tradition, you know, our football tradition. You know, we got a big picture of him in the weight room with his Arizona Cardinal uniform on. You know, there's the displays of his Heisman Trophy. So, I mean, not just us winning it, but obviously, you know, modern day with their tradition of Heisman Trophy.
Right.
It was good to see that there's another high school in the league, a Catholic school, that also can say, hey, you know what, we have a Heisman Trophy winner as well.
Yeah, it's been fun to talk about, right? We got three Heisman Trophy winners between modern day and Santa Margarita, and we've seen so much good football come out of this league. We talk about it all the time, how many good football players have come out of this Trinity League over the years. And we're talking with Jim Hartigan, legendary football coach at Santa Margarita High School, coached Carson Palmer in his 4 years there, a couple of CIF championships as well. As you followed, obviously, the Heisman Trophy and then into the professional career, how much are you able to keep in contact with Carson? I know it's tough to, you know, a pro football career has you going in a million different directions, but how much are we able to keep in contact with Carson during the professional football days?
You know, it was hard. I mean, I did see him occasionally, either at a wedding or a funeral or just somewhere when he was in town, but, you know, I was, you know, with my schedule coaching and his schedule playing, unfortunately, I was never able to attend a professional game to watch him play.
Oh, wow.
But clearly I watched him, you know, on television on Sundays and kind of kept up with him. You know, I was thinking about, you know, if you track all the Heisman Trophy winners, I mean, you know, the fact that he played 15 years in the league, you know, some of these guys are running backs that don't last that long, and being a quarterback and having 15 years in the NFL, I'm sure he's got to be up there when it comes to the Heisman trophies that have a lengthy career in the NFL. And so, I mean, that just goes to show you his discipline, his ability to prepare himself, and the fact that he worked hard, stayed healthy, and was able to survive 15 years in the NFL. It's remarkable.
Of course, your years coaching in the Trinity with Santa Margarita and with Jay Serra, do you see that level of athlete? I think the question almost answers itself, but you see that level of athlete even more so now in this Trinity League that we're going to, it's not going to take too long, I think, before we get another, you know, Heisman Trophy winner. We certainly have enough professional guys coming out, but to get that coveted trophy, I don't think it's going to take too long before we see maybe another one get a chance to win that that coveted trophy.
No, there's no question. I mean, I was fortunate enough to also coach Thomas Cappelletti, who's John Cappelletti's son, when I was at Santa Margarita, who's the Heisman Trophy. And then Ashton White, who's Charles White's son. So not only did I coach a Heisman Trophy winner in Carson Palmer, but I coached two sons of Heisman Trophy winners. So there's definitely, you know, some Heisman history in the training league. And clearly with the type of athletes, you know, that have come out, JT Daniels may be the next guy. Who knows? I mean, there's so many phenomenal athletes that are coming out of the training league playing early in college football and even leaving early for NFL. I would be shocked if we don't get another Heisman Trophy here in the Trinity before too long.
Yeah, it's so true. Well, it sounds like you and Carson are overdue for a dinner here. Maybe he's got the time. Maybe you've got the time now. You guys can get together and have a dinner and reminisce over these great careers that the two of you have had.
Yeah, there's no question. I know we know as a school we would like to, you know, welcome him back and honor him. And, you know, that's something that, you know, obviously when he catches his breath and he's back in town, you know, we can get together with him and hopefully go out and play some golf and have dinner and hopefully get him back on campus. I know, you know, I've talked with his brother Jordan a lot, who's on campus working with the quarterbacks. And so I think Carson needed some time to, you know, obviously focus on his career and his family. But hopefully we can get him back on campus, back in Orange County and back in the community to spend time and celebrate his his wonderful career.
Boy, and I know the last thing that he wants to think about is maybe the next step, or maybe it is the first thing on his mind. I don't know. Knowing the work ethic that Carson has, but I got to think he'd make a heck of a coach someday, right?
Oh, there's no question. I think if he could sign up at the NFL, he could sign up at college, he could sign up at a high school. I think he's going to have his pick of if he wanted to coach, whether that's, in his future or not, if that's what he wants to do, there's no question he can do it. So I'm sure he's going to take some time to reflect and figure out what's best for him and his family, but there's no doubt he'll be successful at whatever he decides to do.
It was a lot of fun. One of the legends, as I've told you before, I'll never forget covering that CIF championship win over Newport Harbor, and I've rarely seen such a dominant performance in a CIF championship game, and that was just sort of the burgeoning of the career of Carson Palmer. Coach, I want to thank you for coming on and reminiscing and going over some of the great memories of Carson, and the script continues on, and we'll see what's next for Carson Palmer in his career here.
Thanks, Bob. I appreciate having you on. Thank you.
Thanks again. That's Jim Hartigan, former head football coach at Santa Margarita High School, talking about Carson Palmer and his great career. And he just wrapped up his professional football career with the Arizona Cardinals after a great 15-year career. A little bit more right here on Catholic Sports View when we come back. Stick with us right here on Relevant Radio.
This coming July, join Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City in Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise departing from Naples that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in Christendom. Visit the birthplace of St. Junipero Serra in Mallorca, Spain. Celebrate Mass in the famed Gaudi Cathedral of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, and visit Pisa and Florence, Italy. For more information, call 877-538-0010 or go to occatholic.com/travel.
The Diocese of Orange is partnered with local travel company, Travel of Orange, to assist in organizing and facilitating pilgrimages to Catholic shrines, churches, and inspiring destinations worldwide. Find out about discounted travel rates, personal service, and customized travel experiences at key religious sites. Call 877-538-0010 or visit travel.occatholic.com to learn more. That's 877-538-0010 or travel.occatholic.com.
Backed by your prayers and your generosity, this is listener-supported Relevant Radio.
Through Relevant Radio, I came back to the church. I made my first confession in quite a while. It has such an effect that my mother has noticed a change and has been asking to learn more about the Catholic faith and has been listening to Relevant Radio and now has asked to go to Mass with me. Relevant Radio has had an enormous impact on my life.
Listener-supported
Relevant Radio.
It really provides me a lot of support in my vocation as a mom because I'm a young mom. I'm only 25. I don't have a peer group of other young moms. To have the support in my faith and in that vocation, it's amazing for me. It's really important.
Our need is ongoing. Please call now with your tax-deductible donation. 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123. Or donate online at relevantradio.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. We're at Modern Day High School, and we're visiting with Chris Murray, who has made his decision where he's going to continue his career playing football and, of course, going to school. And it was a big decision for you. Obviously, a lot of thought went into it. Why did you finally decide that UCLA was going to be the place for you?
At the end, into my decision, I was down to Stanford, Notre Dame, and UCLA. I was leaning towards Stanford and UCLA, but I just thought UCLA was a perfect fit. It's right down the street. My parents, family could come and, support me. Also, Chip Kelly going there. I know the program is going to be going up and it's going to be successful. I think I can, excel in his, fast tempo offense, and his, rolling with that, with the zone schemes. And I'm going to play center at the next level, hopefully. So, I'm excited about that. And, also, Coach Fraley, throw line coach, he played for 12 years in the NFL as a center in the position that I want to learn. So so many things came into my decision, but I just felt UCLA was the best fit overall for me and going on.
When the recruiting process started, obviously it was Coach Mora. It was still the coach, still at the coach there at UCLA. Did the hiring of Coach Kelly kind of cement it for you, or did that maybe change your mind off what maybe some other things you were thinking?
Yeah, it certainly did, because I kind of wasn't talking to UCLA for that while, because you know I just didn't have the best encounter with Coach Mora. He's a great coach, but I just didn't feel that connection. Mm-hmm. And after hiring Coach Chip Kelly, they kind of picked up the recruitment of me. And going back with Stanford and them, I just weighed out my odds, and I just felt like I was just better suited for UCLA.
You got a chance to go back to the U.S. Army All-American Bowl game. You made your announcement there. Some people make a video. We're going to talk to Amon-Ra in a couple of minutes. Yeah. You made a big video about it. You did the hats on the table kind of a thing. Was that just sort of the style you wanted to be able to make your announcement?
Yeah, it's just been a dream of mine, since I was a little kid, to just, I saw growing up, like Reggie Bush, Adrian Peterson, just picking their hats on national TV. I just felt that there's a certain stature, that you get to as an athlete, that where you can do that, and the opportunity was in front of me, so I just wanted to commit on a big stage like that.
What was the experience like for you to be able to play in a game like that and be amongst so many other great players from around the country?
It was a blessing, being invited, playing with some of the top 100 players in the country, to be recognized as one of those players, which was an honor. I got to go out with Amon-Ra, JT, and Solomon. So we were repping MD pretty heavy down there, and we represented them during the week, on the field and off the field.
Chris Murray, modern-day offensive lineman, joining us, made his decision. He's going to go to UCLA after he graduates after this senior year. Obviously, what a year it has been for you guys. League champion, CIF champion, state champion, national champion. The accolades just continue to. You've had a chance now to maybe reflect back on it now that it's kind of in the rearview mirror, how special it's been.
Yeah, I've been here since I was a freshman. I had to work my way up. Luckily, I was blessed to start as a sophomore, and this experience has just been great. Modern Day is one of my second homes, and Coach Ronson and Coach Ward, have molded me into a great football player and a man. So I'm grateful for this football team, and It was bittersweet because I'm leaving this year, but we ended on a good note with the national championship, with the state and CIF. So I think our, this senior class left their legacy. We can go on and do better things at college.
What does it say about this team that you guys just dominated the entire way through? I mean, to play at that level for that many weeks in a row.
Yeah, well, just people don't see what the work we put in the summer, in the off season. We all just grinded. We all knew the feeling that felt last year, ending with a horrible loss, in the championship. And I think that just drove us through this season, finishing business. And, all we wanted to do was bring a ring back here for home and for Coach Rollinson.
Chris Murray, we only get to call him a modern-day monarch for a little bit longer. UCLA Bruin now for maybe four more years, maybe even a pro career beyond that. Is that something you think about maybe in the future? Is maybe playing professional football someday?
Yeah, that's my dream. That's my goal to go to the NFL. I want to play in the NFL. It's always been my dream. That's the dream. I'm on my way.
You get a chance to play in the All-American Bowl game, and you're talking about an all-star type setting, but you got to play an offensive line that was already sort of an all-star team in itself, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. I got to play with, a couple of friends I know from a couple camps, Justin Dedek and, Junior Angelo, all great players. It's funny how you get to that, level of, where all players are good and, some of the personalities you wouldn't expect, but, most of the people that I met were all humble. I made friends that I'm gonna, be with for, a long time coming, and, it was a great experience, making new friends.
Was it fun to be able to show up as the national champion, knowing everybody else kind of went, hey, these are the guys right here?
Yeah, it was kind of like an unsaid thing. None of us bragged that we're national championships or, none of us talk about it. But, having, a modern day album on our back, on our head, people know the respect and, the honor that, that we deserve.
What kind of coaching goes on there? I mean, obviously, it's a chance to go back and play and have some fun, obviously. But is there a coaching aspect? I mean, do the coaches really get in there and kind of do anything with you guys?
Yeah, it was more of they kind of, because it was where we get there the first day, and we don't know the offense that they're gonna run, so they kind of give us the offensive schemes, tell us what we need to do, and we kind of feel ourselves out for it. It was more of a coaching style where they give us they tell us what we need to do, and we just have to compete and deliver it out. So it wasn't more of a getting on us and getting mad. It was just a more of here it is, and just get the ball out.
So much of playing offensive line is obviously, you know, having trust within that, those guys that you go to battle with every week. You already, you played here at Modern Day with some of the best offensive linemen in the country already. So yes, you're used to playing at that kind of level with those kind of guys.
Yes, sir. Well, yeah, this offensive line this year was something special. You know, every single person on this offensive line had an offer and a D1 scholarship. And, you know, that's kind of unheard of sometimes, but. You know, we are a very tight group. We had a lot of chemistry. Tommy's going to Alabama. Mason, you know, has several offers. Kikani's going to Boise State. And our right tackle sophomore is also coming up with a bunch of offers, with a bunch of D1 scholarships. And, you know, we were just a tight group off the field. And I think that's what transpired onto the field, you know, that close chemistry.
What your conversations have you had with Coach Kelly at UCLA? Have you talked to him at all? And,
yes,
and what are you looking forward to? We've seen that offense and the way it can score points pretty quick. It's going to be kind of fun to play in that, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Coach Kelly's, you know, a great, humble guy. He's not some people, you know, expect, you know, that guy, you know, that stature, it might be, you know, a little not coming off and, you know, maybe kind of a celebrity type. But he's very down the earth. He gets to the point, you know, he wants to win. And he's trying to build up this UCLA class with new athletes and an elite group, you know, to, you know, start this new era at UCLA. So he's a great coach. And I talked to him a couple of times on the phone, you know, and met him. And I'm getting up to UCLA for official in this next weekend or the weekend after the Poly Bowl. And I'm just so excited to get up there.
You know, I asked you before, and we're in the closing minutes here with Chris Murray, modern-day offensive lineman. When you look back at this season, you know, what are the memories you're going to take with you, the ones that really stick out in your mind right now?
Yeah, just, you know, that smile on Coach Rawlinson's face, you know, after he won the CIF championship was all I needed. You know, I just wanted to see that joy on his face of, you know, just winning. You know, we haven't won a CIF championship here in a while, and just, you know, that joy that we were able to bring to him and, you know, closing that out for him was great.
Want to wish you luck. Want to say good luck at UCLA. We've had fun watching you here at Modern Day. What a special season this was. And go get him as a Bruin.
Yes. 8 clap. Let's get it.
All right. There you heard it. That's Chris Murray, former, almost to be graduating from Modern Day High School, but future UCLA Bruin. We'll have a little more, and we'll talk with Amon Ross St. Brown when we come back right here on Catholic Sports Radio.
Chart-topping worship vocalist Matt Maher will perform at Christ Cathedral on February 10th as part of his Echoes of Worship tour. Don't miss Matt Maher performing at one of the most incredible, beautiful, and inspiring locations in the country, Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove. Get your tickets today at transparentproductions.com. That's transparentproductions.com.
We have been so excited about Catholic Night at the Honda Center that we couldn't wait to start promoting the event. The Anaheim Ducks even sent Wild Wing himself to help with the planning. And I'd say it's going pretty well. But you know, it'd be really great if everybody just showed up and had a wonderful time. So join us Friday, February 9th at the Honda Center for Catholic Night. Wild Wing and the Ducks will bring the action, and we'll bring the spirit.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gems of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102. 714-489-6102.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. A couple of minutes here with Amon-Ra St. Brown. One of the most talked about players in high school football this year. Where was Amon-Ra going to go play his college ball? You got two older brothers who obviously made those decisions a couple of years back. And you decided to go a whole different direction. You're going to be a USC Trojan. What finally cinched the decision for you to join USC?
I think all three options that I had that I was deciding from were top institutions. I couldn't have gone wrong with either school, I think. I think it just came down to where I felt most comfortable and what my gut told me.
Obviously, we talked about your Aquamanius at Notre Dame, Osiris at Stanford. Was it important to kind of do your own thing, or was there a thought like, hey, it would be fun to go play with my brother somewhere?
I mean, Aquamanius is entering the draft, so I wouldn't have played with him either way. Osiris is at Stanford, so I was going to play with Osiris or do my own thing, so... I mean, it wasn't just about doing my own thing. I think it was just what was best for me.
Yeah. You obviously had a chance to look at so many different schools. What is it about USC? What is it about the program and the coaching staff over there that appealed most?
I love Coach Heldon. I think he's an honest man. If you ever talk to him, you can tell right away he wants what's best for you. I think they run a dynamic offense. I like that I can graduate in 3 years with a business degree. I mean, it's in L.A., close to home. That's nice. And big city, I like that. So big football, just overall great school.
Visiting with Amon-Ra St. Brown, soon to be a USC Trojan wide receiver. We see in the national championship game just last night how true freshmen can go in and make an impression right away in a program. You looking to maybe get in there and any talk about being able to play right away?
Definitely. I want to make an impact early on. I have to show the coaches that, I mean, I can make plays and move on from there.
Obviously, JT had made his commitment. JT Daniels made the commitment to go to USC as well. Did that play into it at all for you?
I mean, a little. I mean, it's nice to go to school where you have a quarterback that you know, that you've played with for a while. But that wasn't the deciding factor in me choosing USC. It was just, like I said, I thought it was the best fit for me, and it just that was it.
Obviously, you had a lot of resources to talk to. So many top receivers from Southern California have gone to USC and gone through and gone under pro careers. Did you reach out to anybody, talk to anybody about what it's like to play for Coach Helton and play for the Trojans?
No, I haven't reached out to anyone yet, but I'm looking forward to doing that soon.
You two got, along with Chris and JT, got a chance to play in the U.S. Army All-American Bowl. What did it mean to you to get chosen and be able to participate with so many other great players from around the country?
It was fun to compete with the top players in the nation, especially with Pazon, because usually you don't get to play with Pazon. It's with 7-on-7 or like the opening where you don't have Pazon. But so to finally hit and play a real football game with the top guys, it was fun.
What's it like to go back there and kind of meet some of these guys? You see some of these guys around camps or other things during the year. You playing some games against some of these guys, but to meet some of the guys maybe you read about or hear about during the season.
Yeah, I mean it's a little different. I mean I've seen a lot of these players at the camps, like you said, so I know a lot of them. Right. So it wasn't really anything new meeting these guys. I've seen a lot of the faces, talked to a lot of them, so I was kind of used to it.
Amon-Ra St. Brown joining us for a couple of minutes here on Catholic Sports View. Going to be a USC Trojan after he finishes up and he graduates from Mater Dei here in just a couple of months. When you have a chance to look back on this season now, you reflect back on it. I know it's tough to do it while you're doing it, but now that it's been about a month or so since the big championship game, what are your memories of it? What was it like to go through the experience?
It was fun. I mean, I learned a lot of stuff here at Mater Dei. Coach Rawlinson, Coach Chester Coleman, they taught me a lot of stuff. Definitely something to remember. A lot of great memories here. Made a lot of friends. I don't think we could have finished the season in any better way. I mean, we went undefeated, won the whole thing. But I'm ready to move on for the next chapter. I'm ready for college, so I'm happy.
You're healthy? I know you battled some injuries early on in the season. You feel as good as you felt all year?
Yeah, I'm 100%. I feel healthy, so I'm good, yep.
A lot of people that have creative ways that they make their decision known where they're going to go to school. You decided to make a video. Where'd you do it? What's the thought process that went into it? And how did you put it all together?
I shot that video, I think, like 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I wasn't my idea. The Players Tribune coordinated everything. They had the whole script ready for us, and I just went with what they said, and it came out pretty good.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool because it incorporated your brothers into it as well. So was that a lot of fun to be able to include them in it?
Yeah, it was cool. That was their plan. They wanted to make it I mean, those are the three schools I was shooting out of, so they wanted to integrate them in the video.
Is it fun to be part of a family where the three of you are not only football players, but you guys all play the same position? Now you've got an older brother who's going to be a professional football player here in a couple of months. I mean, this whole process for the family has got to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, having two older brothers that have gone through it, I mean, I get to learn a lot from both of them, but it's a lot of fun to be doing it with your brothers and to watch them go through it and have them be successful at the same time. It's fun.
When you finally made the decision, do you feel like it was kind of like their pressure was lifted off? I know you get the questions all the time when, you know, guys like me sitting across going, hey, where are you going? Where are you going to go? And, you know, you're trying to make that decision. It's tough for a 17, 18-year-old kid to make that decision. Do you feel like the pressure was lifted off your shoulders when you finally decided USC was the place?
Not really. I really never had any pressure. Mm-hmm. It was always there's a few schools that I liked, and those schools knew it, and I didn't lead on any other coaches. So for me, it wasn't really any pressure. It was just me finally deciding where I wanted to go and letting the world know. So,
was it a constant concerted effort that you were going to wait till after the season to make the decision public?
Yeah, I was planning all along to do it at the Army game since the spring of last year. So that was really the plan for me.
Have you known for a while, though, that USC was going to be the place?
Like 2 or 3 weeks before, yep.
Okay, so that's when you finally made the final decision.
Yeah, I called Coach Helton the day before I announced, so that Friday before the Army game, I told him, so.
Had to make Coach Rollinson pretty happy, too, right?
Yeah, probably, yep.
You're going to wrap things up here at Modern Day. You're going to graduate here as we mentioned, state champion, national champion. You know, what are some of the top memories you take with you now? From not just football, but school entirely.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I made a lot of friends here at Modern Day. They welcomed me with open arms. Great community here, great people. So, I mean, I had a blast here. I'm going to enjoy my last semester of high school at Modern Day. I mean, I want to do all the fun stuff like prom and winter formal. So I'm going to enjoy this last semester and make the best out of it with all my friends and stuff. So,
last minute here with Amon Ross St. Brown. What has JT had to say to you since you made your decision?
He was happy. He was excited. He kind of felt that I wanted to go to SC, but he never really knew. So he was excited.
You saw in the national championship, Alabama, true freshman to true freshman, throwing the game-winning pass. You know, obviously that'd be a dream come true to do something like that. Are those the kind of things that you and JT maybe talk about hoping to do in the future?
I mean, I don't know about that exact scenario, but definitely throwing touchdown passes is something we want to do. So.
For sure. Well, we want to thank you, Amon Rod. Great season, obviously. Congratulations, and good luck at USC. And I know we're going to keep following you, and it's going to be a great career there as well.
Thank you. Fight on, baby.
All right, there you go. We got an 8-clap UCLA Bruin. We got a fight on USC Trojan right here in Amon Rod St. Brown. A little bit more right here on Catholic Sports when we come back on Relevant Radio.
Except this colored priest.
But the Catholic Church deplores double slavery, that of the mind and that of the body.
We want no Toltons in this place.
I shall work at it and pull at it as long as God gives me life.
Get out of Quincy, go elsewhere, get!
May I never give up.
Learn more at ToltonDrama.com.
See Tolton at Christ Cathedral's Free Theater, January 26th through 28th. For info, go to ccdramaseries.com.
Join Bishop Tim Fryer, the Diocesan Choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise departing from Naples that will take our pilgrims to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in Christendom. Visit the birthplace of St. Junipero Serra in Mallorca, Spain. Celebrate Mass in the famed Gaudi Cathedral of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona. And visit Pisa and Florence, Italy. For more information, call 877-538-0010 or go to occatholic.com/travel.
Backed by your prayers and your generosity, this is listener-supported Relevant Radio.
I just wanted to share in my own personal life how important Relevant Radio has been to me. I am currently in RCIA in the process of becoming a Catholic, and Relevant Radio was instrumental in getting me there. And I just wanted to say that Relevant Radio is great for people who are already Catholic. It strengthens your faith and your understanding of it. But also for people who are feeling called to the Catholic faith but aren't really sure about it, I turned Relevant Radio on and I learned so much. And just the love that you guys share with your listeners really was very important in getting me into the RCIA program, so I just wanted to thank you.
Our need is ongoing. Please call now with your tax-deductible donation. 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123. Or donate online at relevantradio.com.
The show, Ryan Abraham. He writes for USCFootball.com and covers high school recruiting out there. And we've got some big announcements coming out of the Trinity League as it relates to USC football. Ryan, thanks again for joining us here on this week on Catholic Sports View.
Anytime, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, let's talk about the big announcement that took place. I know a lot of people have been wondering where Amon-Ra St. Brown was going to end up playing his college ball. And I don't think it was too much of a surprise that he picked USC. But in the end, was there any surprise to anybody, to you at all?
Not too much. I mean, I think if you look, you know, even a year ago, USC wasn't really even in his top three. And, you know, having an older brother at Stanford and an older brother at Notre Dame who just declared for the NFL draft. But if you look, you know, over the last several months, it started to, you know, lean more and more towards USC. I think T. Martin, USC's offensive coordinator and wide receiver coach, kind of played a big part of that. But, you know, once, you know, USC quarterback for 2018 was supposed to be Matt Corral. There was some sort of falling out there, and he ended up decommitting, and he signed with Ole Miss. And, of course, you know, you're familiar with JT Daniels,
right,
who, you know, they worked in with. And, well, you know, he's a great recruiter. I talked to JT in San Antonio at the Army Bowl practices, and he really wasn't worried about his play there. He was just worried about recruiting. So, obviously, you know, one of his good friends and, you know, his favorite target in high school, Amon-Ra St. Brown, that's going to be one of his targets. He didn't really even mention him to me because I think he just felt that it was in the bag. But he talked about some of the other players he was trying to recruit. But, yeah, it kind of came on later. Like I said, a year ago, he wasn't really even in USC's top three. But no big surprise that he ended up picking USC over the weekend.
Trojan fans have just got to be salivating if they've seen any of the tape at all of these two and the connection they have, the quarterback wide receiver connection that JT Daniels and Amon-Ra have. I mean, USC football fans have got to be excited that this is going to happen and these two are going to go together now and become Trojans.
Yeah, they have to be. And we've been able to, you know, follow his career and put up a lot of highlights. So a lot of what we do, Bob, is like we'll go out to different high school games, or we'll go to 7-on-7 events or whatever, and you see these players. And a lot of times you're trying to get highlights of a certain player, and you're filming a bunch of different guys, and maybe you get like 5 or 6 clips of somebody. You know, when you go see Amon-Ra St. Brown, you're getting full highlight tapes of every event you go to. He's just always making catches.
Yeah.
And so when you're filming it, you can just tell, like, okay, I'm getting plenty of footage on this guy. So I shot him for the first couple of days, and I just stopped because I had plenty of stuff. I put like 5 minutes of his highlights, and he's always making these crazy catches. I mean, he is such a strong, you know, his dad was a former, you know, Mr. Olympia or whatever, and, you know, and he's got such strong hands, strong body. He can power lift more than some of the linemen on his team. So he's just this special type of player that always goes out and make plays. He's not always the biggest or the fastest or whatever, but he's always out there making plays.
You know, we've seen, and we're talking with Ryan Abraham, USCFootball.com is the website, and he's been following all the USC recruits. We'll talk about a few more here in just a couple of minutes, but we're focusing on modern-day monarch Amon-Ra St. Brown made his announcement, and I thought it was a kind of a fun video that he put together. You know, everybody does videos now, or either that or it's the hats on the table that everybody does now, but Amon-Ra made his announcement. He's going to be a USC Trojan. You know, it's interesting because we've seen so many of the Southern California wide receivers, the great receivers, they all seem to go to USC. So it just seemed like a natural that, especially after JT Daniels said he's going to graduate a year early, he's going to move over to USC. It just seemed like a natural progression. Now all the great receivers just seem to go to USC now.
Yeah, and I think it helps. I mean, first of all, T. Martin is probably the best recruiter on the
USC
coaching staff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so if he's your wide receiver coach, he's a really great recruiter. But if you look at those guys in the NFL, where Marquise Lee's having a big year, and Nelson Aguilar, and Robert Woods, I mean, having 140-something yards in the playoff loss for the Rams, I mean, he came on like gangbusters. I mean, there's just a lot of – and Juju Smith-Schuster, over 1,000 all-purpose yards, first time a rookie's ever done that. You're seeing these USC receivers perform well in the NFL. So I think that's part of the thing, too. I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown certainly wants to make it to the NFL. His brother, like I said, declared early. But when you're seeing success, especially recent success, it's not like you're talking about ancient history. I mean, you know, 4 or 5 guys right now in the NFL that are doing really good things. I think that kind of helps your decision along. And that's probably USC's probably biggest recruiting tool. Being in Southern California and all that kind of stuff, but being able to put guys in the league and, every one of their quarterbacks seems to get drafted. It just seems to happen over and over again. So you see that kind of legacy of players making the NFL. It certainly helps in the recruiting process.
You've certainly got your ear to the ground as it relates, obviously, to USC football, and you've got your sources and everything else. When did you first hear that JT Daniels was thinking about skipping his senior season and going to go ahead and speed up that process and go into USC right away?
Yeah, I think it started even just, I talked to JT about this at the Army Bowl, and he said, he had heard rumors too. So a few months ago, and he was like, yeah, that's when I first heard about it. And that's what at least he told me. He said, I just first heard about it, and I started to look into it. And I think a lot of it had to do with certainly Matt Corral decommitting. I think if Matt Corral was still committed, JT Daniels wouldn't be a USC Trojan. Mm-hmm. But once they kind of parted ways, there just didn't seem to be a great option for 2018. And a lot of people speculated that Sam Darnold would declare, which he did. Now, there was talk of maybe getting a transfer, like a Shea Patterson, who USC recruited out of high school, ended up transferring to Michigan because of the Ole Miss situation. But a few different scenarios that were possible. And I think, JT Daniels and Modern Day didn't really want to say much once they kind of started going down that road, and they kept it quiet all the way through the great playoff run. A few months ago you started hearing things, and he's a smart enough kid. He's got to do a lot of work in the classroom, but just the fact that he's able to, put some extra classes in and be able to do it, just shows you how special of a kid he is. But yeah, it was probably a few months ago. And according to JT, like I said, he was hearing some of the rumors too, and he's like, let's look into this. And obviously it worked out well for all parties.
And, I imagine, and what I've been hearing too, is that he's got a real chance to compete for that job and become the starting quarterback day one.
Yeah, a lot of USC fans on Twitter and on our message boards on uscfootball.com really want that. So they're not, and Matt Fink, I think, has improved a lot since his time at USC. And we saw Jack Sears, who was Sam Darnold's backup at San Clemente. I think he's made some progress too. He came in, it's tough to make that transition from high school to college. The problem for JT, usually when a quarterback is a true freshman, comes in and wins a job, like we saw Matt Barkley, as a true freshman years ago, you're coming in the spring and you at least get a heads up and several months, head start. You're not getting that with JT. Mm-hmm. He'll be able to come sometime this summer, but he's going to really have a couple of weeks in fall camp is really all it's going to be. He'll start in late July when they start camp, and he's going to have to wow them right away. And I think even if he does, we've seen Clay Helton not start Sam Darnold over a veteran Max Brown. Now, there's no, four-year guy on the roster that's put in a whole lot of time and was a former five-star coming out of high school. We're not seeing that. There's not that guy he has to compete with. It's a couple of younger guys. So I think he has a real shot, but it's a little bit of a disadvantage not being there in the spring like most quarterbacks come in. He's coming a whole year early. He can't come in a year and a few months early. That would be too much to do.
Yeah, that's a lot to expect, even of JT Daniels, who we know is so much ahead of a lot of his peers as he's played for 3 years at Modern Day High School. But, yeah, that's a lot to expect out of any quarterback to come in, and especially when you need to get on the page with your linemen and your receivers and everybody else, and you're in a whole new atmosphere like that in college. Any inkling at all that that the job is necessarily not his, that there's no way they'll even consider him just because of that short time frame?
No, I think they certainly would have to consider him. I think Clay Helton's usually a little bit more on the conservative side as far as veterans that have been in the program for mm-hmm. a while, because Matt Banks got some playing time. I think he's got to be the leader in the clubhouse, and I think when you saw Sam Darnold get his, eventually start, a lot of the coaches were on backing Sam Darnold because he just killed it in, his freshman year, his true freshman season when he was on the scout team. Now, the coaches aren't going to have the advantage of watching him perform against the scout team, especially defensive coaches. It's really going to have to be he comes in and just wows people. And if you saw, you watch any of his games, you can see that first, ball he threw, the deep ball, in the Army All-American Bowl, it was just an absolute dime. You're like, okay, wow, that's really impressive. He was the best player to me, and, he's supposed to be a junior in high school. He was the best player to me when I was down there at Army Bowl practices of the other five quarterbacks, of the six. He was the best. So I think he's just going to have to come in and really impress people right away. And then part of it will be if, in the spring when Matt Fink and Jack Sears compete, if if neither one of them kind of steps forward and wins the job outright and just go, man, this guy's looking really good. If someone looks great in the spring, it'll be that much harder for JJ to win in the fall. But he's got the talent to be able to do it. I think Clay Helton just has to keep that open mind to, you know, let a player like that come in as a true freshman. If he's the best guy, the other players will know it, the coaches will know it, and you just have to kind of pull a trigger and, you know, maybe some growing pains having a young kid like that starting, but you just kind of pull a trigger and let it happen.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Ryan Abraham joining us, senior writer for USCFootball.com. And now we know UCLA has a brand new head coach as well, and it is Chip Kelly, who everyone knows Chip Kelly's resume from Oregon and what he did there. What kind of wrinkle does this throw into the local recruiting scene now that Chip Kelly's on the scene at UCLA? And how much what kind of inroads has he made into the local recruiting scene in trying to get some of these local kids to go over to the Powder Blue?
Yeah, I think, you know, for a lot of people think when someone loses a bowl game or they hire a coach, it's hard to have an impact in this class because there's been so much work already put in. I think the big impact is going to come in 2019, 2020. What he brings is certainly a sense of legitimacy to the program, instant relevance. And I think you have to be relevant. You have to be talked about. You know, you look at Michigan, they haven't, you know, been winning the kind of games that a lot of their fan base would like, but they're always relevant because of Jim Harbaugh. And I think Chip Kelly will bring that same sort of sense there with, we don't know how successful he's going to be. I think he can be a great success again. I know a lot of people feel like, oh, people have caught up to his offense and all that kind of stuff, but he brings this class that he brings, the name recognition. It's something that you can walk into living rooms and talk about. So I think it's going to make it really interesting when he's recruiting up against Clay Helton and his staff. Because USC's just, it almost doesn't matter who's the head coach. They always just seem to bring in the local five-star guys. But a guy like Chip Kelly, I think, can go in and compete for some of those players. And you're especially talking about some of the dynamic athletes. Maybe they're not the biggest guy, but they're really fast, and he can bring those guys in. You know, there's a lot of stuff you can recruit against USC in that respect, like, oh, they didn't use them the right way. And you know, in a Chip Kelly offense, they'll be used that way. So I think this year, you know, as far as February goes, it's not going to be that big of an impact. But 2019, especially if they have some success on the field, I think it's going to make a lot of these Southern California recruiting battles all that much more interesting, just to what he brings, the cachet he brings to that program.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch here in the next couple of years, that's for sure. You know, when USC hired Clay Helton, it was a little polarizing for some people. You know, a lot of people were on board with it, the success that he had shown there at the end of, being named the interim head coach. And then some people thought, nah, you know, we need somebody bigger than this on the big stage. It's USC. Fair to say now that USC made the right choice?
Yeah, and it's funny you say polarizing. It's still polarizing. They won the Rose Bowl last year.
Right.
They won the Pac-12 this year for the first time since 2008. And my Twitter feed and our message board still full of naysayers. And it's funny that, you know, JT Daniels could be the next savior, because a lot of the USC fans feel like, well, they won because of Sam Darnold. And then if JT comes in and wins a job and they win, they'll say, well, it's only because of these quarterbacks. But yeah, it's interesting. It's hard because I think, you know, USC is a top five all-time program, right? But they hired an interim head coach who wasn't really, it wasn't like an interim head coach who was under like an Urban Meyer or Nick Saban or something. He was under Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian. So there's just a lot of fans that it's going to take maybe even winning a national championship for them to kind of buy in. So I think more than 50% of the fan base, I think it's tipped now, are happy with Clay Helton, but there's still, you know, a significant portion that at this point they're just like, yeah, he's not the right guy. So it's tough. It's not an easy profession. No matter what you do, you win games and people still don't like you. So I don't know. It's tough.
Right. And coaching, you're always just a placeholder, right, till the next guy comes along. But you try to win as much as you can. And Clay Helton's doing the job. That's the bottom line here. This guy's getting it done. So I don't think fans can complain too much. You know, we know lots of fans in Orange County of USC. We see the flags and the banners all over the place. Just kind of quickly gave us some names of some of the other kids that SC picked up. And is there anybody still kind of hanging out there that SC's in on?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of five-star guys, you know, with JT, but Paliete Giotioti is a linebacker from Bishop Gorman High School in Las Vegas. We got to see him play against JT and
right.
Amon Ra and those guys when they, you know, and they end that 55-game winning streak or whatever it was. Really impressive kid. And then Talanoa Hufanga is a recent late signee. He was a late five-star signee from up in Corvallis, Oregon. He's an athlete we got to see down there also at the Army All-American Bowl. Played all kinds of positions like quarterback, and but he played safety, which he hasn't really played, and I thought he did a really good job down there. And then Raven Scott's another defensive player from the Army Bowl, a local kid here in Narbonne High School that 6'2", 220 pounds, that has been impressive. So they got some pretty good defensive players, I think, lined up. And then, you know, going after some of the big names out there, I think they can finish strong. They just didn't sign as many people as you would have felt in the early signing period, like some of the other schools. But they were kind of in a position where they needed to wait to see on a whole bunch of juniors if they were going to leave. And it's not going to be a huge class for USC. But it should be really interesting. I think JT and Amon-Ra, you know, from modern day, make this a really powerful class that kind of jumped into the top 10, where maybe they were like top 15, top 20 before that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's going to be a lot of fun. We had so much fun watching them play in their high school careers, and it's going to be that much more fun to watch them together again at USC, and I think the sky's the limit. Ryan Abraham, we want to thank you for joining us here on Catholic Sports. Thanks again, and once again, it's uscfootball.com. That's the place to go to get all the recruiting news. Thanks again for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on.
All right, that's Ryan Abraham, uscfootball.com. Log on there right now. Get all the latest recruiting news, especially if you're a USC football fan. You're listening to Relevant Radio.
I want to thank all my guests this week. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Chris Murray. Congratulations to them. Good luck at USC and UCLA, respectively. Also want to thank Ryan Abraham. Make sure you log on to uscfootball.com. Get all that up-to-date information about the USC recruiting. And also want to thank Jim Hartigan, the former head coach at Santa Margarita, and also at Jay Sarah. Don't want to forget about that. All my guests this week. If you want to listen to this show again or any of the others right here on Catholic Sports View, simply log on to occatholic.com/radio and click on the Catholic Sports View icon. I'm Bob Gibson. Thanks again for joining us this week, and we'll see you next Saturday right here on Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio.
This coming July, join Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City in Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise departing from Naples that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in Christendom. Visit the birthplace of St. Junipero Serra in Mallorca, Spain. Celebrate Mass in the famed Gaudi Cathedral of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, and visit Pisa and Florence, Italy. For more information, call 877-538-0010 or go to occatholic.com/travel.
Backed by your prayers and your generosity, this is listener-supported Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio has given so much for me and my family. It has taught me so much about my faith, and it really has inspired me to get up every day and fight the good fight. And it isn't easy. I mean, it's not very easy at all, especially living in a culture that I live in. Many have left the faith, and I pray for their return. I just think of how much better formed Catholics we would have been had I had Relevant Radio as a child.
Listener supported.
Relevant Radio.
There's a lot of great things that we can give our money to and that we do, but we realize that Relevant Radio might not be a part of our lives if we don't support it. And that's how much we love it.
Our need is ongoing. Please call now with your tax-deductible donation. 1-877-291-0123 or donate online at relevantradio.com.
Chart-topping worship vocalist Matt Maher will perform at Christ Cathedral on February 10th as part of his Echoes of Worship tour. Don't miss Matt Maher performing at one of the most incredible, beautiful, and inspiring locations in the country, Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove. Get your tickets today at transparentproductions.com. That's transparentproductions.com.
We can't accept this colored priest.
But the Catholic Church deplores double slavery, that of the mind and that of the body.
We want no Toltons in this place.
I shall work at it and pull at it as long as God gives me life.
Get out of Quincy, go elsewhere, get!
May I never give up.
Learn more at ToltonDrama.com.
See Tolton at Christ Cathedral's Free Theater, January 26th through 28th. For info, go to ccdramaseries.com.
How can you ensure financial support for your kids, grandkids, and important charities instead of the government? How can you ensure that your wealth and possessions are used in accordance with your wishes when the Lord calls you home? Planning Now helps answer these concerns specific to your circumstances and in a way that maximizes the financial legacy you wish to leave. Making a planned gift to Relevant Radio can help you achieve that goal. Learn more at relevantradio.com, keyword plan.
Powered by you, Relevant Radio.
Provide spiritual support for your family and all families from heaven by prearranging a planned gift to Relevant Radio.
Maximize the financial legacy you leave when you go home to our Lord. Consider a planned gift to Relevant Radio as part of your financial exit strategy.
Learn more at relevantradio.com, keyword plan. That's relevantradio.com, keyword plan.